This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's always an honor to welcome back to this program Charlottesville's own Paul Harris, a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates and a member of the State Advisory Board to the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. Paul, how are you, my friend?
I am well, Coy. Thank you for inviting me to be on your program again.
Absolutely. It's good to hear your voice. We want to talk, with the time that we have here, about your thoughts about the Republican Party. And we'll you know, tease that out a little bit, you know, at the state level or nationally, look at some of the current challenges. And I'd like to focus on your thoughts about the future promise of the party and what you think really needs to be done as a Republican, where you see areas to build on and things that should be done. Before we do that, though, remind people, for those who, the few people who may not know who you are, give us a Paul Harris 101 and a little bit about your story.
Well, as many know, I grew up in Charlottesville. I'm a graduate of Charlottesville High School. I also had the opportunity to spend 3 years as a student at the Miller School of Albemarle, which were three of the best years of my life. After graduating from high school, I attended Hampton University, where I majored in political science and matriculated through the Army ROTC program. Spent 4 years in the Army, serving with the 10th Mountain Division and the 82nd Airborne. From 86 to 90, I enrolled in law school at the George Washington University School of Law in 92, graduated from law school in 95, returned to Charlottesville to work for McGuire Woods Law Firm, ran for office successfully in 1997 to represent the 58th District, was reelected in 99, resigned my seat in 2001 to accept a presidential appointment to the Justice Department, where I served for 2 years before going back to private practice with Raytheon Company. And was at Raytheon from 2003 to 2006, and then I joined a law firm for almost 2 years before my current position, which is in the fraud investigation service line at Ernst & Young.
Quite a story. Quite a list of accomplishments. Have you had a favorite job, I'm wondering?
I'm asked that question all the time, and I certainly enjoyed my time representing the 58th District. Oddly, I'm one of those politicians who actually enjoy the campaigning more than I did the business of holding meetings and hearings in Richmond.
Right.
The idea of getting out into the district and sharing ideas and trying to persuade people to the things that I believed in, lower taxes, smaller government, respect for life, and those kinds of issues I found far more attractive. But I must say that my time at the Justice Department serving the country during a very interesting two-year period from 2001 to 2003 was enormously rewarding, both personally and professionally. There were a number of challenges the country faced, as you recall, in those 2 years, 9/11, of course, and
Absolutely.
Then we had a spate of corporate scandals that the department had to deal with.
Yeah. Paul, I'm wondering, your years with the U.S. Army, thank you for your service. I'm wondering, what was the major takeaway from your service to the country as a member of the armed forces?
Well, I think, number one, the volunteer Army is the way to go. I was always impressed with the quality of the young men and women who had who served the country and how dedicated they were to the mission of serving the country, but also to improving themselves and their ability to work together as a team to accomplish the mission, despite the fact that they came from various socioeconomic backgrounds. The Army and the Armed Services generally has figured out how to bring people together from diverse points of view, diverse backgrounds, and to coalesce them around a single mission with purpose, and also it's done a tremendous job at providing educational opportunities to young people who decide to serve in the uniform of the United States and tremendous experience, very challenging period of time. But I haven't met anyone who would trade the purity of their service to the country for anything else, and I certainly wouldn't.
We're talking with Charlottesville's own Paul Harris, a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates. So, Paul, let me ask you first to start this discussion about the future of the Republican Party and current challenges. Why are you a Republican? What is it as a young man growing up that attracted you to the party and you knew, well, this is definitely the party for me?
Well, I think I probably always had Republican or conservative leanings. My mother, of course, had a great influence on my worldview, and she worked a single mother. She worked two or three jobs to support the family. I can never remember a time when she held fewer than two jobs. And so she always believed in work and the dignity that is attached to work. I had uncles, my Uncle Joe, my Uncle Hugh, my Uncle Hampton, all of whom who served in the military and strong patriotic tendencies. So I grew up thinking that supporting a strong military was the right thing to do. I remember getting my first paycheck and not understanding all of the deductions that had been accounted for in my check. I was working as a janitor at Zion Union Daycare Center on Preston Avenue, and I remember receiving the check and not understanding all this stuff at the bottom of it, and had asked people to understand, help explain to me what had happened to a good portion of it. And so the idea of allowing people to keep more of what they earn, especially people who are struggling and who are at the margins, who live paycheck to paycheck, seemed to be a common sense idea to me. And come 1979, 1980, I heard Ronald Reagan articulate those values that I believed in. And it was at Hampton University, a historically black school, oddly enough, where I firmly decided that the Republican Party is where I belong because their values best represented the ideals in which I believe.
We're talking with Charlottesville's own Paul Harris. Now, here in 2009, the Republican Party nationally and in the state of Virginia faces some current challenges. What are your thoughts? It's just a very open-ended question here. As you're watching the news like the rest of us, I'm wondering what you're thinking about what's wrong, what needs to be done, what needs to be built on, and the future of this grand old party.
Well, I think the party has gotten away from some very core ideals, which, in my view, make up the Republican Party and should be ideals around which all Republicans should be able to rally. We've gotten away from lower taxes. We've gotten away from our emphasis on smaller government. We've gotten away from, in many respects, standing up for in respecting life, and so we've gotten away from, you know, having controls on spending. I think this is the big issue today. And so, in many ways, I think the party is rudderless. It's void of bold ideas, the kind of ideas that propelled Republicans into a majority in 1994 at the national level. I think there's too much infighting in the party, and by and large, I think the party is too defensive. You can't win elections by being on the defense, and we need to be bold and assertive and stand up for the conservative principles that have made our party strong. We have to do a better job of explaining how conservative principles benefit the country as a whole, as well as non-traditional Republican constituencies. But instead, for whatever reason, many in our party have played go-along to get along with Democrats by supporting all sorts of tax hikes and reckless spending increases, as well as feel-good social and environmental policies. All together, which spell have spelled defeat, and will continue to spell defeat if that is the practice that we continue going forward.
My guest is Paul Harris. If you've got a comment, question, or just want to say hi, it's 977-1070. Give us a call. I'm sure Paul would love to hear from you. Paul, some political observers have said that the Republican Party started to get in trouble when it gave itself over to the far-right, socially conservative wing of the party, which has tended to want litmus tests on candidates and sort of marginalized the more moderate wing of the party. And in this last election, we certainly saw a lot of those drift to the Obama camp. Your thoughts on that? Would you subscribe to that notion, or do you see it differently?
I see it differently. I mean, if we look at the past election, I don't think there's anyone who would argue that we had a conservative candidate carry the banner for the Republican Party. John McCain is not a conservative. John McCain is a moderate. He's a self-described moderate. And his campaign was floundering until he added a conservative to the ticket. The only time McCain led Obama was after Governor Palin joined the ticket. McCain being a moderate, I think, counters the argument that moderates are being pushed out of the party when the candidate for the presidency on the Republican side clearly was not a conservative. And I think that's problematic. I think moderates do not have the passion, do not stand up for conservative principles. They have generally no sizzle, and all of that means no win. I think conservative candidates who can articulate a clear conservative vision of keeping more of our money to address family needs, the need to get bloated bureaucracy out of the way so that entrepreneurs can pursue their dreams and create new jobs, give parents the opportunity to send their children to the school of their choice. All are important conservative principles. When we get away from those, we lose. When we find candidates who can articulate those principles, we win. And I see a lot of positive upsides for our potential pickups in the Virginia election in 2009. I think Bob McDonnell is an excellent candidate. I think he will be an outstanding governor. And he's got a great track record on the issues that are important to conservatives and a great many Democrats and independents across the state. We just have had, I think, too many candidates who are qualified for the offices they're running for, but really not qualified to be good candidates because they don't have the passion or the ability to articulate conservative principles. There is a distinction there, and it's one that has hurt Republicans.
We're talking with Paul Harris live on Charlottesville right now. Martha's been waiting patiently on line two. Martha, you're on with Paul Harris. You go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. This is Martha. We met at a school board meeting a long time ago, but I think
remember.
You articulate ideas very well and wonder when you might be running for office again and just slow down kind of. I'm hoping that somebody and Republicans in general, perhaps libertarians, can slow down these very kind of rapid and kind of radical programs that have happened in the last 100 days. And it makes a lot of people really nervous and good to hear somebody like you, Paul, you know, articulating those principles as you just have been doing.
Well, thank you, Martha. It's great to hear from you again. I think the last time I saw you was in the Albemarle County office building at a meeting. I think you're exactly right, and there is a reason to be optimistic for Republicans now. As I look at what has happened in the last 100 days at the national level, I think there could be a replay of the 93 elections after the first year of Bill Clinton's presidency. As you know, Virginia and New Jersey are the bellwether states for the national parties, and party leaders will be looking to the results of this November's election in both Virginia and New Jersey to try to figure out a strategy for the congressional elections in next year. But the Clinton tax increases were a decisive factor in the Republican victories in both of those states. And I think Virginia voters, a coalition of Republicans, independents, and conservative Democrats, may be poised once again to send a message to Washington. But this time the issue won't be about tax increases as much as it is about a revolt against the unprecedented expansion of government, the massive run-up of debt, and the just uncontrolled spending. So I think this year actually could be a good year for Republicans. I wouldn't say a great year, but I'm very optimistic that what has happened in the last 100 years will spur Republicans to find a way to unite, return to our core principles, and enjoy the kind of victory that we had in 94.
Martha, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Tom on line three. Tom, you're on with Paul Harris. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much, Coy. And Paul, it's so great to hear your voice again and to share once again the vision that, you have for a good conservative philosophy. My name is Tom. We met some years ago, and you might remember you mediated the dispute we were having at that time with the Virginia Department of Transportation requiring some regulatory issues on a business I was starting up in Rutgersville.
Right.
You know, Paul, we were concerned then that the regulation on businesses like ours and the excessive taxation of our businesses would cause businesses like mine to fail. And in fact, it didn't take but a few years for all of those crushing expenses from government to cause that business actually to fail and put some 30 people out of work. A lot of people are out of work these days because businesses are failing, and it doesn't seem to get through to our government officials that they can't keep raising taxes and expect us to provide jobs. I hope that your voice will be heard once again and influence people, because frankly, my business, Paul, has paid $2 million in taxes over the last 10 years, and we're yet to see a profit. If you wonder why unemployment is at record highs, I think the answer is quite clear.
Well, Tom, thank you for your comment, and you're right on point. I think conservatives, Republicans, the government in general needs to focus on lifting the bureaucracy off the backs of entrepreneurs so that they can prosper and so that they can create new jobs. I mean, most of the jobs in the country are created by small, medium-sized businesses, and yet these are the people that the government target and go after with more taxes, burdensome regulations, and all sorts of red tape. And the result is just as you said. Makes it much more difficult for these small businesses to prosper. They end up hiring fewer people, and fewer people hired means that the government has got to find other ways of collecting revenues to support and sponsor continued expansion and growth of government. So, you know, getting government out of the way is an important, should be an important objective for our candidates, and it's one that we need to hold their feet to the fire on. You know, at a real fundamental level, it goes to winning the hearts and minds of American people. Most people do not, a lot of people don't envision themselves being employees all their lives. There are people who actually want to be employers, who want to pursue their dream of owning a beauty salon or a transportation company or a restaurant, but find that their own government stands in the way of them pursuing their dream. We need candidates who are not afraid to stand up against government, against whether it's Department of Transportation or some consumer department, and say, look, enough is enough. You need to get out of the way because your interests are not aligned with what's in the best interest of the public. And, you know, too often I think candidates and politicians are more concerned about being invited to, you know, the cocktail circuit or getting favorable press in the papers and on television. And the truth is mainstream media does not like conservatives. They didn't like them yesterday. They're not going to like them tomorrow. So we really need to get over that, stop whining about it, and just simply do what is right and what's in the best interest of people like you who work every day and try to create jobs. I applaud you for what you do, and I hope more politicians be willing to stand with you as you try to create new jobs and expand your business.
Tom, thank you so much for the call. He is a native of Charlottesville, a veteran of the United States Army, and a former member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Paul Harris, you're welcome on this program anytime.
Thank you very much, Coy.
Thank you. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. Take care and have a good evening.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.